Hello and welcome to Chapter 4. In the previous chapter, we discussed the reasons to outsource and how do you decide, but we discussed the decision-making quadrant. And after you decide, the next logical thing is to choose a vendor or service provider. And that's what Chapter 4 is about, vendor assessment. How do you assess a vendor or service provider? So you need to decide whom do you outsource, and there are multiple factors which need to be considered. So vendor assessment is a comprehensive evaluation to determine if the prospective vendors meet your organizational standards and will they be able to help you meet the reasons of why you choose to outsource a particular process to the vendor or the BPO service provider. So how do you assess? Different factors are to be looked into, which we will discuss in this chapter. But what are the benefits of vendor assessment? So vendor assessment obviously helps you look at all the reliable sources. When you start vendor assessment, the first thing you would do is you would list down all the vendors or service providers who would be suitable for your business requirements. So first thing is you start identifying providers who are high quality, who provide high quality services or products, if you're looking into product specific outsourcing, who would be low risk operators. So people who are more trustworthy, more reliable in terms of providing the quality that you're looking for. You're also looking at developing long-term relationships. So you don't want surprises after you have outsourced to a service provider. So a careful assessment where you look at all the factors which we will discuss helps you develop long-term relationships with your service provider, and that is what makes them a partner in your business growth and journey. And a careful assessment also lets you mitigate the risks involved in outsourcing. So let's then look at the components of vendor assessment. First is the scope and contract compliance. You need to identify the scope of outsourcing, that is what you outsource. So the start of the process, the end of the process, the activities involved in the process, and the compliance, the legal framework of it. So the legal review to eliminate any unfavorable clauses and safeguard your business risks. This we discussed in the previous chapter, that this contract needs to be framed and carried out by legal experts to ensure that everything is covered and the contract is transparent and all inclusive. Then you need to ensure that regulatory compliances are covered. For example, if you are in Europe, then GDPR in terms of data security and customer data management is part of your contract and your provider adheres to GDPR regulations. If you are healthcare outsourcing, your HIPAA guidelines need to be adhered to. So process specific, domain specific, industry specific regulatory compliances, country specific regulatory compliances need to be ensured and adhered to. And that's where a careful vendor assessment ensures that these things are taken care of. Then security and cyber risks, addressing critical issues like data protection and encryption. And these are important not just from the vendor, but even the country-specific policies, how the government is working towards ensuring security, cybersecurity, information security. So these need to be a part of your vendor assessment practices. Then you need to look at the risk assessment matrix. So what are the different factors and how do you rate them? So what is the overview of risk rating? So once you look at risks associated, you need to categorize your risks in three categories. First is generally acceptable. So these are low risks and these are part and parcel of it, and the control measures are easy to implement. So identification protocols or control steps are easier. So these are generally acceptable. Then you have the second category, which is ALARP. So as low as reasonably practical. So these are something which you can minimize and could be as low as reasonably practical. But the third category is generally unacceptable. So these risks should not occur. And all these three are to be rated in terms of severity and likelihood. And that could be different for different vendors. For example, if you talk about data security, a vendor which does not have access control measures on who has access to what data, there the likelihood of data breach would be very high compared to a vendor who has strict access control measures, policies, and systems in place. There the likelihood would be very less. So, and the severity would be the same no matter who the vendor is. So what you need to do is you need to first of all identify the potential risks involved in outsourcing, or it could be because of the process being outsourced. So about the process, it could be about the vendor, about your industry. So you need to first list down the risks and then need to categorize them into generally acceptable, ALARP, so as low as reasonably practical, and generally unacceptable. So data breaches could be generally unacceptable if it is very critical financial data. Some general data could be ALARP as low as reasonably practical, and there could be some risks which could be generally acceptable. For example, downtime for some could be ALARP for non-critical functions, a certain percentage, let's say 2%, 1%, 0.5% could be generally acceptable. And then for all three categories, looking at the vendor, you need to rate them on severity and likelihood. So severity would remain constant. A data breach would have the same severity irrespective of who the vendor is. The likelihood matrix would depend on the vendor, their policies, where they are located, their previous track record. So all these three, once you complete, you get a risk score. And basis that risk score, you determine whether this vendor is suitable to outsource your process or not. So this is how your risk assessment matrix would look like. You would first identify and categorize your risks in these three categories: generally acceptable, ALARP, and generally unacceptable. And then you would rate each risk on severity and the likelihood of occurrence, and that helps you quantify your decision whether this vendor is suitable or not, because now you have a risk score for each identified risk for each vendor. So what is the importance of legal review? We spoke about the legal aspects being covered when you assess a vendor. Now, a legal review is crucial to eliminate unfavorable clauses and ensure compliance with contractual terms and conditions. For example, if you do not cover the implications of data breach in your clause, if there is a data breach that happens after you outsource, you cannot hold the vendor accountable for the data breach. So every risk needs to be covered in your contract, and hence the legal review of the risks of the contract terms becomes very, very important. Then you need to look at the regulatory compliance, which could be industry specific, country specific. So you check the legal requirements, ensure you are adhering to laws and regulation in the vendor's country, including the labor laws, on how long employees can work, their benefits, for example, provident fund benefits and health benefits. So is the vendor adhering to the local country's laws and regulations? Then you look at compliances like GDPR, HIPAA, and other industry-specific compliances. So these need to become a part of your contract with the vendor. Then you need to look at security and cyber risks, and the importance depends upon the kind of process that you are outsourcing. So you need to look at the framework, the systems, the policies that the vendor has, and also the local laws, the government policies around information security and handling of customer and business data. So what are the implications? How can you make the vendor accountable? How can you audit the vendor's systems and policies to check for their control and systems to safeguard your business and customer data? Then you move to identifying top vendors. So once you know the clauses and the parameters which are important for your outsourcing decision and framework, you start listing down the top vendors who meet those requirements. So you need to look at the criteria for vendor selection. Once you have a list of vendors, how are you going to compare the vendors against each others? How will you check them for skills, previous expertise in delivering these services, legal compliances, regulatory compliances, employee management, employee well-being, their commitment to quality and innovation? So a lot of parameters will come into your vendor selection framework. You need to look at skills and knowledge assessment. So how skilled are they? How skilled are the manpower? What are their training and development programs? How do they upskill their employees? How quickly can they upskill and scale up as per your business requirements? Then you need to look at the cost implications. So how do you reduce cost? How do you ensure that you're able to achieve the maximum possible cost reduction? So you need to look at competitive pricing. This will happen only if you engage more than a few vendors in the selection process. If you only talk to one or two vendors in the assessment stage, you will not be able to come to a competitive pricing. But once you invite proposals from 3, 4, 5, or maybe even more in the initial stages, you would be able to look at a competitive pricing and negotiate a better deal. So you explore volume discounting. If you outsource a large volume of work, you could leverage volume discounts to further reduce costs. Some outsourcing contracts have commitments from the vendor where they reduce the cost year on year as the volume of outsourcing keeps on increasing. Then, how do you strengthen your relationship with the vendor? This is important because in outsourcing, vendors become a strategic partner that helps the client achieve their business objectives, either indirectly influencing the growth or directly influencing the growth in respect of what processes have been outsourced. So how do you strengthen relationships with the vendor? So emphasizing the role of good communication. So communication needs to be proactive. If there are challenges, if there are risks, the vendor needs to communicate that proactively so that corrective and preventive measures are taken. So communication is important. You need to collaborate for mutual benefits. It needs to be more of a partnership relation rather than a client and vendor relationship. That's how you strengthen your relationship with your service provider. And that will help you improve your business, the efficiency and better outcomes. So discuss the impact of appropriate vetting and engagement on the quality of goods and services, customer satisfaction, loyalty, and overall business improvements. So your metric scorecard becomes important. What to be measured, on what frequency, how to be measured, the control on data, and the integrity of data. So selecting the right service provider to enhance the quality of goods and services. And customer satisfaction and loyalty become very, very important. But hence, all these need to be a part of your SLA or your contract, and the vendor needs to be vetted against these parameters based on their past expertise and track record with other clients. So let's talk about the vendor assessment criteria. So first, exploring the criteria that should align with the company's mission, ethics, and business goals. So these need to be in line and aligned with your company's mission. And there is a 10C model of supplier evolution, Now we come to the vendor assessment criteria. So here we normally use a 10C model of supplier evaluation. So there are 10 different parameters which need to be considered, right from competency, capacity, commitment to quality, communication, which we will discuss. These give you guidelines on how to assess vendors against this 10C model of supplier evaluation. So let's, if you look at the competency criteria. Now, addressing competency criteria such as experience, customers, training, and key personnel, with an emphasis on assessing vendor functioning and delivery. So you need to look at the service provider or vendor's experience in delivering similar processes in the past for other clients. So do they have a proven track record and expertise in delivering similar operations or relevant experience in operating similar processes. Who are their customers? Who have been their key customers? Are their customers as big as your organization? Has this vendor handled similar volumes in the past, including scaling up, scaling down, including training, hiring, upskilling employees? Who are their key personnel? Do they have a good retention record of employees, or do they frequently change their resources? So all these impact the competency of the service provider. Then you need to look at the capacity criteria. So how many current and future orders does the vendor have? This determines if the vendor has sufficient capacity, for example, the space that they have. So what is their future order book? If required to scale up, will they be able to scale up? Do they have enough cash, enough capacity to scale up operations if required, either by you or by their other clients? So you look at their operational statistics, you look at their resources. So ensuring the presence of necessary systems and procedures to support quality and services, even if they have to scale up to meet your business growth and requirements. Then comes commitment to quality. So is the service provider committed to provide you great quality? And hence, BPOs, clients and service providers both focus on Six Sigma processes, on critical to quality parameters, KPIs and metric scorecards are very important. So you look at consistent quality and service levels. So what you need to do is you need to check for their previous track record, ask them references from previous clients. You need to check their statistical process controls. So are they using SPC? Control charts and other relevant tools to measure and report product quality. And if there's a metric which has not been performing as per expectations, what have they done to improve and start meeting? So look at these past track records, past improvement and transformation projects. So these are in a way your method of checking the suppliers, vendors, commitment to quality. Only when the supplier is committed to quality, committed to continuous improvement, they'll be able to help you strengthen your differentiation and provide end user satisfaction. Then comes the cost criteria. Sometimes cost is an important criteria, but at times you don't always go with the lowest cost vendor. You need to measure cost along with your other criteria. So look at price and full cost. Sometimes the unit cost which has been quoted, for example, if you're outsourcing, let's say a very simple example of data processing, a form processing. So they may charge, quote a cost for processing each form, but there could be other relevant costs, indirect costs. So when you look at the cost analysis, look at the unit cost, but also look at the full cost analysis, the setup cost, the support cost, incidental costs involved, and look at the complete cost of outsourcing over a period of time to rate vendors. Don't just look at the transactional cost. And look at the importance of quality in cost evaluation, emphasizing that higher quality products may provide better long-term value. So vendors who may seem a little expensive when you only compare transactional costs, but if they're able to provide you better quality output, that may be a better decision for you when you compare long-term benefits from outsourcing. You need to then look at the cash and finance criteria. This is about the financial stability of the vendor. So look at their balance sheet and profit and loss statements. Clients, when they assess vendors, they ask for the previous 3 years or 5 years balance sheet and profit and loss statements. You need to check whether your vendor has enough capability to continue operations. What is their financial health? If their financial health is not adequate, if they are dependent on your business to sustain their short-term cash flow, they may not be a good partner for you in the long term because they are not stable. When you're outsourcing your business operations, you need to look for a financially stable vendor. So look at the balance sheet and profit and loss statements, look at references, look at their credit ratings, and only when they pass these checks, move on to decide on other criteria. Look at the communication criteria. As I said, communication needs to be proactive. If they identify challenges, sometimes vendors only communicate the good news. The bad news is either hidden or delayed. So check their framework, the communication framework, their escalation matrix, who talks to whom, and what is their method of reporting performance, reporting issues. How often do they conduct meetings, online, email reports, dashboards? Do they have a CRM? Do you have online reporting matrix? So a lot of other tools which are available elsewhere. So rate each vendor along with these parameters, because communication plays an important role in passing information to and fro to ensure that the operation runs seamless and smoothly. Then look at the control and internal process criteria. This emphasizes the significance of internal process control like managing quality, operations, and procurement. So this is very similar to quality improvement, whether they have strong SOPs and policies and monitoring to ensure that things are done the right way. And in case, if there is any deviation that is identified and corrective and preventive measures are implemented as soon as possible. And also the client is notified, as we discussed in the communication criteria before this. So operational control is very important. Procurement control, so how evaluating procurement processes to ensure timely and cost-effective sourcing. So how are they right from hiring resources to other systems involved? So these are looking at their controls on the internal processes which affect the operations of the outsourced business process. Then another parameter which clients look at is corporate social responsibility. So how is the service provider or vendor working for the local community? So these are more ethical and legal standards. For example, in India also, companies above a certain turnover have legal obligation to invest in CSR activities. So is your vendor liable to invest in CSR activities as per local laws? And if are they doing it? Are they doing enough? Even if they're not legally liable, do you want to work with companies or vendors who are socially responsible? Because we all want to work with people who have high ethics and who are willing to give back to the society. So this is more of a soft measure. If it's a legal requirement, you definitely need to check. If it is not as per the local laws, this is a soft criteria, but it lets you understand the commitment and the soft qualities of the company that you are choosing to work with. And then comes the culture criteria, which is very important, because BPO is a high demanding job. People work in a taxing and demanding environment at times. So you need to look at their employee engagement activities, their work-life balance. How are they ensuring that the workplace values are adhered to? Are they able to provide adequate facilities to the employees? So are they investing in employee wellness programs or not? This affects employee morale. Employee morale will affect the quality and efficiency of your business process. So not only from a human perspective, also from a business perspective, this becomes a very, very important criteria. So this sums up the Dr. Carter's 10C model, where you compare 10 different parameters, each starting with the letter C. Hence, that's called the 10C model, Dr. Carter's 10C model of vendor evaluation. That's a graphical representation of Dr. Carter's model. So again, just summing up the three criteria of Dr. Carter's 10C model: competency, is the vendor competent? Capacity, do they have enough capacity for your current requirement and future scaling up if required? Their commitment to quality, are they equally committed to produce good quality work? So have they implemented standards like ISO 9001, their QMS or Six Sigma framework, project management framework, their consistency of performance. So while assessing a vendor, you would check their track record for their existing and their previous clients. You will ask for references from their existing and their previous clients. You would do your own due diligence to check if their performance is consistent or not. You would look at the cost analysis, ask for multiple quotations, look at the full cost, not just the transactional cost. You would assess the vendor's financial health by looking into their past few years of balance sheet, profit and loss statement, their credit ratings, which is available now for companies very easily. They would look at the communication protocol, how often they communicate, the kind of meetings that they have, monthly business reviews, quarterly business reviews. You would look at sample dashboards and reports that they have for clients. For some processes, you may need access to real-time data. So does the vendor provide that or not? And you need to look at their control of internal processes. So once you assess the vendors, this 10C is a model. You could have your own model of assessment. But after assessment, you have a list of vendors. You look at the risk. We discuss the risk matrix. We discuss the 10C model. You move to the vendor selection process. So what are the phases of the vendor selection process? The first is the analyze and defining business requirements. This actually happens even before you could list down the vendors. This is when outsourcing starts. You decide, looking at your internal processes, on what functions could you outsource. It could be core, it could be non-core, it could be critical, primary, secondary. But you first need to define the business process and the objectives of outsourcing that process. Then comes the vendor search, where you talk to, there are local agencies that help you in this, or you could just float requirements. Vendors would reply to your request and RFQ. So you make a list of vendors, and then you develop a detailed request for proposal or request for quotation. And then you look at the evaluation based on the different parameters we discussed, right from their performance, their capacity, their capability, communication, technology, depending on your process requirements. And then you ask for quotations, you compare the top three or top five vendors before you move ahead with the final shortlisted vendor. And once you've done that, you move to the contract negotiation stage, which, as we discussed, needs to be managed by legal experts because it needs to cover everything. It should be transparent. It should be all inclusive, right from the transition phase to the employee resource hiring, the systems, the technology, the data security measures, the communication protocols, the scale up and scale down guidelines and framework. The contract negotiation actually takes time because there are a lot of things which need to be considered. And at times, there are local government laws which become a part of it, right from the labor laws, the salary guidelines, the work life, the work hours which are allowed, local holidays, for example. So these need to be, and hence, both the provider and the client would have their legal teams take part in the contract negotiation and the framing process. But despite of all that, there could be a few mistakes when you start outsourcing and you engage a vendor. First is, you may choose the wrong market. So the acceptance criteria should extend beyond demographics and time zones. Those can't be the only reason to outsource. You need to engage a neutral third party for an independent assessment. Your internal teams, when outsourcing, may be biased. You may look for somebody who is nearer to you, maybe in the same country or the same continent, because you are looking from a biased perspective. May happen, may not happen. But to safeguard, ensure that in the assessment committee, you have a neutral third party so that the assessment and the findings are independent without bias. Don't always go for the lowest cost. Cost is an important criteria, but not the only criteria, and for some processes is a secondary criteria at best. Look for quality and other parameters which we discussed in Dr. Carter's 10C model. Then missing the importance of culture and values. If you're looking for a long-term association, employee morale becomes important. Look at alignment of culture and values for long-term engagement. So vendor representative should spend time understanding the client's culture, because they have to, in most cases, deal with your end users. So once they understand your country's culture, your working culture, they'll be able to better deliver as per your requirements. Other mistake could be not explaining or aligning performance expectations. This is a primary criteria for outsourcing. Hence, you need to properly explain what is expected, and the magnitude, the KPIs, the metrics need to be properly documented, right from how to measure, the frequency of measurement, who will measure, who will report, and what happens if performance is not being met. Then avoiding site visit and interaction with floor agents. Sometimes you outsource in a different time zone, a different continent. So frequent travels may become difficult, but these should not be completely avoided, because site visits provide first-hand insights into the operations and how your manpower is involved in delivering your process. So visiting them at regular intervals gives you a first-hand experience of the floor, how they are dealing with challenges, and you may get to know a few surprises which are not being reported to you. So a lot of clients make this mistake. This should not be done. Frequent or sometimes surprise site visits are an important part in vendor engagement and management. And then one mistake is not asking vendors for recommendations. If you want to judge a vendor, assess vendors for the capability, it's always important to ask for recommendations from existing and previous clients. Then undervaluing certifications. Certifications go through a rigorous process of audits, be it ISO, be it HIPAA. So you need to ensure that the vendor has these certifications and have been audited by a respectful authority. These ensure that they are following certain standards, global standards and industry standards. And then lack of due diligence. You should never just trust the information on the face value which has been provided. Hence, an independent due diligence becomes important. So auditing the vendor, visiting their premises, talking to their clients, and auditing their systems, these help you compare and rate the vendors on actuals, not on what has been presented in the RFP or the RFQ document. And then lack of an exit strategy definition. So what happens once you have to end the association, right from the legal clauses to the entire framework? That needs to be a part of your contract. So both you and the vendor are very clear that what could be the terms of ending the agreement and how could a reverse transition or transition to a new vendor be processed. So that's all about vendor selection, the factors that you need to consider. I'll meet you in the next chapter. Thank you.